Rastax, good morning. Hello.
Hi.
Rastax, good morning. Yes, yeah, sir.
Mr. Johnson.
Hello.
Mr. Johnson. Hello. What's happening here?
I keep saying hello, but.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, sir.
This is Mohammed Nasser. How are you?
I am all right, sir. And you?
Good. I'm good too. The reason why I call you, I call to discuss something. The reason why a gentleman called me and tell me, Mr. Johnson's on, and you hear what he said. It's preamble before I said no. Everybody should talk with that more because he is setting a course. What he's saying makes a lot of sense and set a course for the betterment of this country. So I didn't know what you said, but the point is, the gentleman called and tell me that. But people believe that every time you're on the phone, I listen to them, but sometimes the Johnson is so busy, I get a chance to listen to everything. But this is what I want to talk to you about. And if I glad to hear the gentleman call and tell me what the message suggests. Because I know you're highly intelligent, but you keep listening. You know this thing called Susu. That's called a million terms. It's called them Susus.
Yep.
You know there's a big talk in Barbados about this pyramid again. Every certain amount of years, a few people come with a pyramid, rob the people, and then the pyramid die. And then it go for a few more years, then they come up again, another group, rob the people, and they go on again. Now, I don't think they're robbing people for purpose, but I don't think they know that they're robbing people. Because if you're asking people to pay money that you know you cannot recover and pay back to you by you getting it, as far as I'm concerned, it's dishonesty.
Correct.
And now we discover now that some churches now are also doing the pyramid school. So I want to talk about the susu, or the medium term. I want to tell our people, instead of going to the pyramid, put your money in the million turns and form an organization so that when you get your turn, you put, if you can afford it, 25%. So let me say there are 20 people in the million turn. Each one put 25% in a pool, get proper attorneys to make sure that it's legal and everything and get the receipts to store for their money that they're saving. And that 25% over another 4 or 5 years, 20 people would generate quite a lot of money where they can then go around and look for properties to buy, bring in things and invest in purchasing and selling or do things that would really build houses. They might be able to buy a piece of land and build the houses together. And I guarantee you that in about 10 years after that, they all will be millionaires for that simple saving. What's your opinion about that, Mr. Johnson?
Sir, the problem with Susu's extending to the level at which you want to take it is that a lot of people do not believe in long-term returns. That's the first step you got to overcome because the Susu or the meet and turn was set up to be short-term. So 6 months, 5 months, sometimes a year, are people saving for their vacation, people saving for back to school, people saving for paying the land tax and the insurance on their house, short-term things. When you start talking long-term and having legal, you know, and receipts, people start getting a little edgy and touchy and wondering if it can come wrong to them. The sweetness, if you want to call it that, of those who take advantage with pyramids and blessing or whatever they want to call them, is that they tantalize people with a short-term, large reward. So you say, you put in $1,600, you bring in two people who can put in $1,600, and I'll give you $16,000. And the person skinned their teeth, they grab the $16,000 if they get it, and they disappear. The problem, sir, comes back to trusting people in today's environment. And while people in offices, family members and extended family members have put together with meet and turns and susus for years, this is intrinsic. When we talk, for example, about the landship, we only see the landship as being people dressed in various costumes and dancing maypole. But the landship started off as being a small-term investment group of people. That was the foundation of the landship. We have things that start that way, the credit union, etc. So Susus have been around for a long time. It's just been contaminated by greed. And people who don't, they don't believe in long-term anymore, sir. The long-term effects will be there, but it's how you get them to agree.
But Mr. Johnson, that's why we're talking, and that's why people talk.
That's why I listen.
The world always continue. I hear you just focusing on radio. I agree with what you're saying, but let's add something to that. Mm-hmm. I just heard you on the radio say that you say things, people don't necessarily believe what you say.
And they don't hear.
It's not what they believe is what you're saying.
Right.
What I am saying is that is a fact. All the people who changed the world called idiots, murderers, some killed unjustly. When the man said that the earth goes around the sun, the Catholic Church fuck him up and punish him until he changes his mind. The first man that said that sea could float was the king of Greece. And the people killing the sea too ignorant to be their king. What I am saying is, Justin, is that we have to still keep trying to push these things, and hoping that change will come. Because the truth is, change will come. What you say, want short-term change, and it will not happen. So we have to keep saying things and let people understand that there must be a change, because they cannot continue to be robbed like that when they could find another way that they will not get totally robbed, and even if they get robbed, they'll get only get robbed at 25% achievement to the 100% achievement. So we got to look at it, Mr. Joe. I don't know how we put it, how we play it. Somewhere, somehow, people will have to start on that it's better to invest with those who they know and can trust than people who come with pretty names about pyramids and so on. If you don't do that, if even in your own family, Mr. Johnson, it's time enough that we start to save collectively in our family. And then see what my family doing, see what you're doing, and then say we can all join the two together. There must be change, especially in black people, the way we think. And if we do not believe that we have to change, then we all must admit that we always be subservient to everybody in the world. What's your opinion, Mr. Johnson?
Sir, again, you have families, brothers and sisters, who grew up together in poverty. They grew up in areas where the area in which they grew up did not have a good reputation. They try to get out of that area by education, by the job they get. They move out. They don't even want to get back together at that point. The difficulty is getting them to see that by uniting, they could take the entire area they grew up in, they could transform it. Their parents may have bought the land for 10 cents a square foot and put down a chattel house. If you have 20 houses that were bought at 10 cents a square foot, why wait until developer X or Y comes in and buys out the entire gap to flatten it and put down a condominium, when if they pool the resources, they could do it? I see your point. The problem is getting them to see it, and us talking not going to do it. Someone sent a WhatsApp message here that I'll tie into it that says they don't understand why people have issues with universities. First thing, we study hard for qualifications, contribute to our families. I was the only one to go to university in my family. I supported my parents for many years at a cost to myself. And here's my answer to it. Because people say, sir, people say they went to university or they sent their children to university to better themselves. And once you use that word better, people think that you think you better than them. And that's when it starts. So people talk about, they leave Licorice Village and they go to the Heights and Terrace and they don't look back. But that's where their mother and father live in. How do you mean they don't look back? That's the old man house that they grew up in. They run about there in barefoot. How do you mean they don't look back? I don't get it, but I am alone in that.
It's a no, you're not alone, sir. You know I'm here with you. But, Mr. Johnson, that's why you have to keep talking and talking and talking. You can't stop talking. So I will say something over to that gentleman or lady who sent that WhatsApp message. My name is Mohammed Nasser. I used to be Jerry's husband. I went to trade at 14 years and 6 months. And by the time it was 17 years, I was supporting a mother, 10 children, and a stepfather. So I didn't even know university. I developed and have a whole set of people. It's not the university. Nobody's criticizing the university. If I get a university, the more I'd be glad. Most of my children are going to university happy. I got daughters a lawyer. I got daughters and two sons of America that sharp. The point I am saying is, it is not the university, Mr. John, like you say, it is the attitude after you left university. You come up from university and think that you're special, and you're not special. You're just a normal human being who poor people pool their resources to set up a university for you to be some successful. As soon as the university graduates gather in the head, start investing some of their resources to help the people at the bottom before losing a cent. They can invest it before losing a cent. Then you'll see a better country and more developed people. So don't let me talk about university. I am proud of what the university is doing in the Caribbean and in the world. A matter of fact, the university scientists know that trying to find something for COVID. Says that me ain't gonna find that. But I could build the containers for the COVID vaccines in though. So Mr. Johnson, all I'm saying is that this is why I like to talk to you. Now these things are so hard and believe that they can't work, but they have to work. If they don't work in our lifetime, Mr. Johnson, they got over in some lifetime, otherwise the world is.
So I just telling you that I believe it. I understand what you're saying. I have lost, sadly, the hope of seeing a change in my lifetime. So I talk, and I've talked myself into extinction, and I think it's time for others to pick up the cudgel and change the landscape. So look. I hear a lot about spreading the wealth, sharing the spoils. This morning, a previous caller talked about reparation. You have Carony in Trinidad. There used to be sugar estates worked by indentured servants at first, Indians predominantly. Carony estates closed down, and various governments in Trinidad said, split it up. Share it to the Carony workers, give them small plots to cultivate, give it to them at reasonable. Same thing we did here in Barbados with tenantry land, you know, just following. What's the result? People buying up lots, people claiming to own lots that they don't claim, renting out to people when they have no authority so to do, fleecing people, putting them out, families with babies by the side of the road because somebody leased them. Greed, in other words. We doing it to we. Whether we black, Indian, half Chinese, greed. And my challenge is trying to change that is becoming a battle too far because people don't hear because they don't want to hear. They're happy where they are. And, you know, it lost. Brass Dax, good morning. Hello.
Hello, good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I have an issue here that I want your input on. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you are aware of the price gouging that is going on at some of the supermarkets. I have been into one particular supermarket, Lee Sardines at $1.99. Went back and find it at $2.50. Now, when they had the COVID, these supermarkets make a lot of money. Then they lay off and they cut back the hours of the employees. I don't understand why now, where there's so much unemployed people in Barbados, that you will have price gouging at some of the supermarkets. That is one issue. My other issue is with Light and Power and Digicel. Why, again, with so much unemployed people, would you be putting on late fees when a person cannot pay on the same date that you want them to pay? But they're paying, but yet they have to pay extra, which they're calling late fees. My third issue.
Before you
want to go on or
no? I was going to ask you if there was any way you could approach the entities you mentioned to try to address the situation of how and when you pay. Because I know there were some entities, I'm not sure whether Light and Power or which one Digicel. You said, Flow? Digicel?
Digicel, yeah.
Right. Whether they had any avenues for you to call to address the situation of how and when you pay. Whether you pay smaller installments over a longer period. Because I know there's some places that would say, okay, if you make arrangements, we'll allow you to pay A, B, C, D, E, F. I don't know if those two do. The other one is the question of
price gouging.
I try to stay away from using that term because that term means something specifically that sometimes the weasel out by saying that's not what it is. It says an unexplained change in price. So let me call it that. I struggle with that one a lot because, yes, I do, believe it or not, go into supermarkets and shop and various places. And when I try to find out the reason behind the change in price of certain things, basically it comes down to that's how I run my business. And I'm putting it that way for this reason. Because the reasons you're given are far-reaching. For example, one, oh, the price of gasoline went up and diesel went up, so I can charge more for delivery, which sometimes I can't explain because I think they have them stored in the back. I don't think you get diesel to take it from the back to the front of the store. One. Two, airplanes ain't flying, so to get them in here, it costs more. And I ain't sure the sardines get flying from Canada last week, or it had COVID restrictions on it, so I kind of, especially when I see a new tag on the old, especially when I see a new tag on the old tag, which means the day before. Catch what I mean? It ain't a brand new tin. If I peel off the tin that say 221, or the sticker that say 221, I see 134 under it. So, you know. And then what confuses me the most is when it goes from the shelf to the cash register and the price change. Because that has happened too. So I don't know how to explain the unexplained change in price, which is why I'm calling it, until I get the right name for it. Mm-hmm.
Things like flour that is made here in Barbados, flour.
But you see, you got
I know.
Because the truck they're bringing it charging more. I don't know. I don't know. It costs more to put another security guard at the door to spray your hand and take your temperature. So they're going to make up for that additional person. Ma'am, I tell you, if you talk to the people, those are the reasons you get. So I put it down to, it's how I run my business. That's my, the reason I get. I mean, I don't agree with it, but that's why I hear. The third one you heard, tell me.
The third one is teaching your children online.
Mm-hmm.
I was in my home, and my son was online being taught. And I constantly hearing a child crying all the time. So I pushed the bedroom door, went into the bedroom, and look at his phone he have getting his messages on. And there was a teacher with a baby in her hands.
Mm-hmm.
Pamper on, baby crying, and she's carrying on a class.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a class that's being for slow learners. Tell me, how are these children supposed to focus and concentrate and collect what is being said from her to learn anything with a baby keeping so much noise in her hands? My son is so frustrated with it. He stopped going to classes.
That's not a good answer. That's not a good response there, though. Think of the teacher who is trying to balance her duties as a parent with her responsibility of teaching the class and is ignoring the crying child who may want a pamper change, who may want to be fed, because she feels that she has an obligation, a duty, to attend the tour class. I think she should be commended. She should be assisted in her attempts to balance both. Ma'am, this is a difficult period for a lot of us. And there are teachers who are trying their best to manage their responsibilities as parents. Some of them have children who have to be taught too, who have to be taught online, and who may turn to their parent, in some cases single parent, because I know a teacher who has two sons, and I know boys can be very demanding of their mothers. And I am sure that teacher, as several others, may be torn between their responsibility to their students, because I know personally teachers who feel just as strongly about the students in their classrooms as they do their children that they brought into the world. They see them as being their children too, and sometimes will go out of their way to attend to those children while putting the needs of their children into the background, because their children have them 24/7. The children in their class do not. Ma'am, it's difficult. And I ask you to try to assist in the way best way you can by not encouraging your son to drop out. And I hope you don't call him a slow learner, because that too will have an impact on him. I didn't want to say this, right? Because I get told all the time that I talk too much about me, but you have to understand how people who get stigmatized and teased feel. You grow up, you achieve, but sometimes you get hit in a place that takes you back, right back to where you are. I have always walked funny. I got funny feet. There's go in all kinds of directions. I was teased mercilessly about it. I'm an old man. And the first thing people tell me is the way I walk. Big people, people as old as me, just talk to me about my funny foot. I walked across a car park the other day and the fellow said, Dennis, where are you going? I didn't recognize you with the beard, but the walk, it's a trademark. And I use it as a trademark and I laugh. But I remember as a teenager, St. Anthony's College had the best football team in Trinidad. All my family played football. We had a whole team to ourselves. My father and the five brothers and the myriad of cousins, the 6'4" with broad shoulders and, you know, handsome young men. They tell me I had to play football. I couldn't run up and down. So I was the assistant goalkeeper, the second goalkeeper at St. Anthony's. And in the final against Fatima, they hurt my goalkeeper, dislocated his shoulder or something. Coach said, Young Johnson, your turn to shine, my boy. And I tuck in my shirt and I pull up my socks and think I look real good. I'm walking out on the field and I give a ball. Who is this locally assembled man? All you're sending to goalkeep. And everybody bursts out laughing. And I wish the ground would just open up and swallow me up. The only thing I can do is, you know, run in the dressing room and shut the door. Because I feel real ashamed. You know, you have to understand, right, that this stigma thing don't leave you. And every time anybody tell me anything but my foot, I just go back to locally assembled man and all them girls there you're trying to charm laughing. Yeah. I just don't react the same way now, but back then. You know, I mean, now I can talk about it and laugh. But look, people talk about Brother Nasser. Brother Nasser did what he did. He does what he does. He's successful at it. Somewhere along the line, when I listened to him, I could hear somebody telling Brother Nasser, why you ain't going to knock two pieces of iron together? You ain't learning nothing. So it remains in the back of your mind, no matter what you do. That's why Dr. Bertie Graham, may he rest in peace, as an accomplished doctor, could still remember that they laugh at him and say, you can't write properly because he can't tell the difference between a B and a D. That it wasn't until he was a grown man and a doctor that dyslexia became something people talk about. Yeah. Brass Sacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, Mr. Johnson, I don't always agree with everything you say, but I want to hand it to you because when the lady was talking about the teacher with her baby crying, mm-hmm. the tone of her voice, it came across as so insensitive, and these are not normal times. And you see, I think a lot of things that are now happening in the world have caught people off guard because, you know, there's so much going on around the world, and we always think it would never reach us on this side of the Western Hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Mohamed Nasheer seems to have this extreme idealism. And the reality is that we are not living in a perfect world. Well, we all want to have that support from those around us, families first, you know, people that come into our lives, our neighbors. The real reality is that it will never be that way. And all you can hope for is that you can be strong. And this is what I'm going to say now. This, for me, is when government has to step in. And I know, and please give me a hearing, people do not understand the former President Donald Trump. And they put former in inverted commas. A leader like Errol Walton Barrow. These are men who put things in place for people who had nobody, who were destined to fall through the cracks. But there are people who play to the gallery. Have you ever heard that saying, Mr. Johnson?
I have.
You know what it means?
Yes, I have an interpretation.
You
don't know.
Tell me?
I don't. What playing to the gallery means?
Yes, please.
It means using your talents to impress the people around you who are listening to you.
In the political arena, mm-hmm. it is to appeal to popular
taste
by crude or obvious means. It is a lack of genuineness.
But I can't say that part.
But that is what it means.
I can't say that, ma'am.
Hold on.
Because the saying means so don't mean I gotta accept it. And I'm telling you the part
If I use the word accept, the word accept has a particular dictionary meaning. So it can only mean that in the context that I use it in.
You still ain't getting what I'm telling you. Know. I am telling you.
You may not agree with me that I am saying that a particular part.
No, you're still in, ma'am, you still ain't listening. You see, that's why I tell you it is difficult for me sometimes to have a conversation with people who don't listen to what I say. I read things that are dictionary explained, and I say, hold on a minute. No, it has nothing to do with political parties. It doesn't have anything to do with this. And if you'd let me finish, you'd hear the part of the statement they have a problem with. Here is the part I have the problem with. I never, ever, ever try to ascribe motive to what people do because I do not know why they do it. That's the only part of the statement. I didn't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I understand. I'm just saying, I was just saying what the statement means to play to the gallery. That's all I'm saying. I understand that you don't have to agree that a particular...
We got to take a break.